I'm really excited to preach. Actually, what I'm doing with you on the Lord's Prayer, I have done over the past 10 years and probably over 100 churches in teaching these things. But I do it more like a seminar rather than a sermon. So I'm down on the floor level. I'm using illustrations. I'm dragging people up front, embarrassing them, and doing a lot of other things. So I'll try not to do that this morning, but I want to keep you alert and awake to what we're doing. We are looking at the Lord's Prayer and praying what the disciples prayed in Luke chapter 11. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, it's the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is repeating that same kind of lesson and teaching them how to pray. He begins that prayer by saying, when you pray, because you are different than everybody else in the world. Did you know that? Look at the person next to you. They are different than anybody else in the world. Because if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, God is your Heavenly Father, and your prayers to Him are not like the prayers of pagans. And so Jesus made the emphasis on that and said, when you pray, enter into your closet and close the door. And when you're in that secret closet, pray to your Father in secret who hears you and already knows what you need before you ask. So it's not about asking. It's about basking. It's about being in the presence of the Lord. So we have put on the back table the book that I wrote on spending time alone with God. Those are lessons that the Lord taught me for my own prayer life. I have passed it on to you, and I trust that you will use it. We've also used the 3-minute timer. I don't see mine up here, but the 3-minute timer, you're welcome to take that home. And we challenge you on each of the 6 steps in the Lord's Prayer to spend 3 minutes a day on each of those steps. That would give you an 18-minute prayer meeting, and that's probably 10 times more than you're spending perhaps now. It's a way of expanding prayer and making it joyful. This morning, we're looking at the second step of prayer. The first one is be still. The second one is be thankful. And I want to reiterate the Lord's Prayer again so you hear it once more. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, as we look at that, I have been preaching this for a number of years, and I have presented it in my book, that the second step in the Lord's Prayer and in my prayer time is thanksgiving. So the point we're looking at this morning is to be thankful unto the Lord. And somebody came up to me after one of the meetings and said, Pastor, I'm confused, because in the Lord's Prayer it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name is the worship part, and that would be second. And yet you've put the thanksgiving part, which is about the will of God, and you put it in the second place. So why did you do that? And I thought, well, I don't know. So I went home and I asked the Lord, Lord, why, when you taught me, did you put be still first? And you told me that the second step for me was to be thankful. And the Lord said, turn to Psalm 100. And I turned to Psalm 100 and it said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And there's the pattern. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And that's what the people of Israel did when they went up to the temple. They went in groups of people and they went singing thanksgiving songs as they entered the gates of the Lord. And then when they got into the temple, then they praised the Lord. So I found that there's the secret. But as I went before the Lord and said, Lord, that's confusing to people that it's out of order in the Lord's Prayer. Why did you have me put it second? Why did you have me put be thankful in second place? And here's what the Lord said. I had you put it in second place because you're not thankful. Woo! That really kind of hurt. And I evaluated myself and I said, well, that's kind of true. I don't naturally exude thanksgiving because I am a type A personality. Do you know what that is? Type A personality is an annoying person. Type A personality is hyper. They're always getting things done. They're overachievers, and they want everything to be in place, everything to be the way it should be. And so that extends into my personality, which is to be a perfectionist. Now, to be a perfectionist doesn't mean you do everything perfectly. It means you want everything done perfectly. And that creates a spirit of unthankfulness, because I have this gift, I would call it, of walking into a room and seeing everything that's wrong with the room. That is a gift. I walk in the room and I can see the cobwebs in the corner. I can see that annoying fly that was bothering me up here during our song service. I can see cracks in the walls. I see little imperfections in the floor. I see that somebody spilled something way over there, probably years and years ago, but it's still stained. And as I look around, I'm not looking for trouble. I'm not looking for problem. But problems stand out to me because things are not in the proper order. They're not perfect. And I look at our beautiful stained glass windows and I say, they need to be washed. And so it creates within me that spirit of wanting to correct everything and make everything perfect and put it in line like it should be. Am I all alone on this? Is anybody else like that? Say yes and make me feel comfortable. Okay. There's a lot of annoying people here today. And see, the Lord puts it second in our prayer list. Second, because we're not thankful. We are not naturally given to thanksgiving. We barge into the presence of the Lord. We bust down the gates of the temple. We run in before the King of Kings and we start telling him everything that's wrong. We tell him everything that needs to be fixed and all the things that we need instead of spending time in thanksgiving for what the Lord has done. And so we need to make some corrections in ourselves. And that's why the second step is to be thankful. As you enter into prayer, be still is number one, so that you focus on the Lord and remember that he's your Father and he wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be alone with you. He wants you to spend time with him, and he wants to spend time with you so that you listen to his whisper, as we learned last week. But then he wants you to enter into thanksgiving and be observant of the things all around you. I want to point out three things, and it's in your notes, and I won't cover all the notes completely, but I want to highlight a few things. The first one is the problem. The second one is the principle, and then the plan. There's a problem with Thanksgiving because most of us are not thankful. To me, it is very difficult to not be critical of things that are wrong. Even as I conversed with you this morning, I am sure that as I conversed with each one of you, we pointed out things that weren't right about doctors, about hospitals, about sickness, about this, that, and the other. Instead of giving thanks for all the good things, we tend to focus on the things that are wrong and the things that need to be corrected. So in some ways, we're all perfectionists. But one of the lessons the Lord began to teach me years ago when I went to a counselor, our daughter, a 12-year-old daughter, died in Brazil in a terrible accident. And that devastated me. And I ended up coming home and having to go through some counseling and get help from, because I was anxious and I was angry that God allowed these things to happen. And in that, I worked on this idea of perfectionism, that I was demanding everything be perfect. And when my daughter died, that wasn't perfect. That was about as unperfect as it could get. And so I was upset by that. And yet the Lord began to teach me a few things about his world. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. And then he went through the 6 days of creation. And after every day of creation, he said, it is very good. It is very good. And as the Lord began to teach me about that, the Lord said, look at that carefully. The Lord said, creation is very good. He did not say it was perfect. He said it's very good. And then after the fall of Adam and Eve, it got really nasty. It got a lot worse than very good. So it might just be good. So in my mind, I had to readjust my thinking of this world is not perfect. This world is never going to be perfect for all the perfectionists among us. We're not going to be able to fix everybody. Wives, you can't fix your husband. Husband, you can't fix your wife. Let it go. But there are good things you can be thankful for and be blessing the Lord for his goodness and his kindness and his mercy. George Mueller was a great man of prayer. And in his volumes that he has written on prayer and his own personal disciplines, he said, the first task in my heart and life every day is to make myself happy in the Lord. Did you get that? The first thing that I need to do every day is readjust my thinking to be thankful for everything, to get myself happy in the presence of the Lord. Wow. He was kind of a perfectionist too. Things weren't exactly the way they should be, but he had to readjust his thinking as he came into prayer to be thankful. That's what God wants us to do. My dad taught me some things about this perfectionism. He told me about the law called Murphy's Law. Have you ever heard of Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law says that anything that can go wrong will go wrong at the worst possible moment. And he illustrated that and said, oh, you take a piece of toast, you butter it, you put jelly on it, and if you drop it accidentally, where's it going to go? It's going to flip over, and it's going to land jelly side down. And he says, it happens every time. That's a law. It's a Murphy's Law. And when I went through counseling, I had to examine Murphy's Law to really find out if it was true. And it's not true. The toast doesn't always flip over. Sometimes it goes on the side. Sometimes it doesn't flip over completely. Sometimes it doesn't even fall. You actually hold the bread and never drop it. So you have to challenge these thoughts that are negative. And we have a tendency as human beings to be negative in our nature. That's part of being Adam's race. He fell, Eve fell, and the curse came upon the earth, and it came upon us, so that we see all the flaws, and we long for that perfection that we don't find in this world. I was teaching on this theme of Thanksgiving in our prayer time, and I was in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. I had my little Chevy S10 truck, which was a wonderful truck. It was great. It always ran. I didn't have to do much to it, rarely changed the oil, you know, the whole thing. It just was a wonderful truck. I got to Uniontown, did a speech to the men's group for a couple hours, and then I'm back going up to my motel. And if you know Uniontown, it's a lot of hills. And I go up this hill, and I got this four-speed transmission. I get up to the hill, stop at the stoplight, and I'm ready to go. And the stoplight changes to go, and I step on the gas and pull the clutch out, and it goes, and stops. Well, that's frustrating enough. So I put the emergency brake on, I hold it so it doesn't roll back to the guy behind me, and I start turning over the engine, and it goes, you know the routine. I can keep that all day. That's the way it was. Everybody's honking horns behind me. I'm stuck in the traffic light, and I can't get the truck going. Well, finally, I got it to sputter a little bit and made it to the turn into the parking lot of the motel. And I'm very frustrated by that because it's a great little truck. It's always run properly. And I go to my room, and I call Marilyn. I say, Marilyn, you got to pray because the truck is acting up. It's really, and I got a two-hour drive to get back home on Sunday night. And if I have to leave this in a gas station or someplace, it's going to be 2 hours to go home and then 2 hours to come back to pick it up on Monday. And who knows how much they're going to cost. You know the routine. Worse goes to worse, and you're thinking all these negative things about it. So I fussed on that all afternoon. All Saturday afternoon, I'm running out to the truck, going over there and trying to start it. I found a little gas station nearby. I went over and I got some ether to be able to spray it in the carburetor. I got a few other things to put into the oil and maybe loosen things up a little bit. I checked the points and tried to see if that would help. I tried to find somebody in the church that could help me. Guess what? Nobody in that big church could help me. All the mechanics were on vacation. I'll tell you, Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong at the worst possible moment. Well, I'm frustrated. I'm late in the afternoon, probably about 5 o'clock. I'm on the phone to Marilyn. Marilyn, this is terrible. This truck is not starting, and I don't know what to do about it. It could be this. It could be that. I need you to pray for a miracle. And I'm ranting and raving. And she says, well, I'm praying, and the Lord's going to help. But, you know, she's always Miss Positive. She is not Miss Perfectionist. That's what happens. A perfectionist marries a person that's quite satisfied with the life that God gave her. So she hangs up, and I'm sitting there. I go out to the car again, and I'm walking around. I'm frustrated. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord said, why don't you try being thankful? He said, you are teaching on it. Why don't you put it in practice? And I go, oh, man, and that's supposed to apply to me. And the Lord says, okay, why don't you try being thankful? This truck has worked for you for 10 years. Never given you a bit of trouble. You've had many, many miles without any incident. So be thankful. So I asked the Lord's forgiveness for my grumpiness, and I walked around the truck, and I walked around the truck putting my hand on it and said, I love you, truck. You are a wonderful truck. I love the color. I love the way you run. I love the way you've helped me take my kayak and do the kayak and take my bikes and go on picnics and go hunting and doing all of these things. I'm walking around the track. I'm just so thankful. You're not rusting out. Look at those tires. They're still pretty good. I'm looking at everything. And I walked around that truck for probably a half hour just giving God thanks and thanking the truck. Of course, trucks have personalities too. And I was being thankful for the truck. And by the time I finished walking around the truck, thinking of all the great things about my little truck, I was so thankful for it. So I got in the truck and I said, Lord, I am thankful. Whether this truck starts or not, or whether I have to get a new engine in it or whatever is going on, I'm just thankful for all that you've given me over the past 10 years. Thank you. Now, here's Pastor Dick. But it sure would be nice if it would start. And so with a whisper and a prayer, I said, Lord, it's okay if it doesn't start. I put the key in the ignition, turned it over, and it went, ran smoothly. Ran it around town, never any jerking, never any sputters whatsoever. And it actually ran for 6 more months before I had to get it tuned up or anything. God answered prayer. Thanksgiving is good. Merlin Carruthers wrote a book back in the 60s called Prison to Praise, and in that, he tells the lessons of being thankful and how being thankful can transform every situation. And for us, we need to learn that being thankful is important for us as we enter into the presence of the Lord. How many of you really appreciate complaining people? Let the record show, I see no hands. And yet when we come before the Lord, we come as complainers, don't we? We come telling him all the things that are wrong. I got news for you. God knows what's wrong with this world. You're not telling him something he doesn't know. So stop telling him everything that's wrong and get into his presence and tell him all the wonderful things that are good about the world and what God has done. We complain a lot, we grumble a lot, we gripe a lot, but we don't give thanks a lot, do we? And some of us probably go days without number without giving the Lord thanks and appreciating all that he has done for us. God is good and God is great and greatly to be praised. That's the problem. The problem is us and our mindset of complaining rather than giving thanks. But then we have the principle. The principle is the scriptures the Lord gives us that instruct us to give thanks. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is a challenge. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Corrie Ten Boom was a prisoner in Nazi Germany, her and her sister. And they were in a concentration camp, and it was horrible, the smells and the people that were dying. And she said the worst thing of all was the lice. You couldn't get away from the lice. The whole place was filled with lice. And she had a sister that was a very positive person. And she was always thankful for what God had given them. And Corrie said, I could not be thankful. I could not be thankful for the lice. I could try to be thankful for everything, but these lice were awful. And she says, as the process unfolded and they were in that place, these guards of the gulag stopped coming into their dormitory, stopped persecuting them, stopped beating them. And when she asked somebody why, they said, well, don't you know, they don't want the lice. The lice jump all over them when they come in here. And Corrie realized God sent the lice to get rid of the cruel guards that were persecuting them. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the issue with thanksgiving is our issues of not accepting the will of God. That God is not sovereign over everything. God's not in control of everything, so we have to tell him how to control his world, how to fix things in our lives, instead of resting in him. When God says, in everything give thanks, he means in everything. So I'm going to give you a challenge. Here's a homework assignment. Ben, every time your wife complains, tell her, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Abby, every time he complains, which is going to be a lot more probably, then you have to say 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Kids, every time you hear your parents complaining, I want all of you in unison to say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That will drive them nuts. But it will drive home the truth of God's word. The Lord says, in everything I want you to give thanks. Yes, I had to learn to give thanks about my daughter's death. I don't like that. I still wrestle with that. I don't like the fact that she died. I don't like the fact that she had an accident. I don't like the fact that she suffered. But I now acknowledge that that was God's plan for whatever reason. And in heaven, he'll explain it to me. But I'll probably get there and it won't matter anymore. Because I know that God is in control of everything and he has a perfect plan. I love Jeremiah 29:11 says, the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a bright hope. See, God has plans for us, and yet we wrestle about that and we don't give thanks. In Philippians chapter 4, many of you have this as a favorite verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God. So God is putting it right into that prayer concept again. When we make our request, when we're praying, we ought to give thanks for the things that are before us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. By the way, that's one of my favorite cowboy movies, Clint Eastwood, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So any cowboy fans here, old cowboys? Yeah, in Brazil we call those spaghetti westerns. They were old Italian ones that were made. But the good, the bad, and the ugly, God has made all of it for his glory and for our good and his glory. And so God has given us these principles. And along with that is Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good and virtuous, think on these things. Paul is telling the church, and he's in prison when he's writing this. He's saying, folks, don't be anxious for anything. Everything by prayer and supplication, make your request made known unto God with that thanksgiving. And think on these things. Don't be thinking about the negatives. Don't be thinking about the things that are imperfect. Don't be thinking about all the things that are wrong. Think about the good things. Everybody look at me. I want everybody looking at me. Look at me. Think good thoughts. Think positive thoughts. Think wholesome thoughts. Think pure thoughts. Think praiseworthy thoughts. And it will transform you and your personality. And I know it did that for me. My wife and I had to work on my imperfections as I went through counseling. And we made it a game, kind of like how I told Abby and Ben to do. I'm not picking on you, but I'm picking on you. You make it a game and you make it fun just to challenge yourself with the negativity that goes on. And be alert to the fact that when you're negative, it influences everybody around you and it influences your emotions. When you're negative, your emotions are negative. But when you're positive, your emotions are elevated. So we need to learn that. In Lamentations chapter 3, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you need to go to Lamentations chapter 3 and read the entire chapter. That's your assignment for this afternoon. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. There's a guy that needed to learn thanksgiving. But in chapter 3, he's lamenting everything that went wrong. And he's complaining for 20-some verses. He's just laying it on God. God, why this? How come that? How come you've forgotten me? Have you forgot to be merciful and gracious? Everything. It's just like he ran out of breath. And finally, he gets to verse 21, and he says, but this I call to remembrance, that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then he goes on to say, then I will remember that your mercies are new every morning. I will remember that God is good. And then in Habakkuk, nobody reads Habakkuk, but you've got to read Habakkuk chapter 3. At the end of his lament and telling God everything that was wrong, he says, though the fig tree does not blossom, and though there's no fruit in the vine, and though there's no cattle in the stall, and there's no sheep in the pens, even though I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, the principle God has given us is a principle of being thankful for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And most of us are stuck on being thankful for the good and not for the ugly. And then we move to the plan. There's the problem, then there's the principle, and now the plan. The plan is to prime the pump of thanksgiving in your heart. My parents moved to my grandmother's house for a period of time in our young lives, and it was like a witch's house. It was an old, unpainted, old farmhouse falling apart. It didn't have running water. It didn't have a bathroom. It had an outhouse. How many of you have ever experienced an outhouse? Ooh, if you haven't, you need to. It's a wonderful experience. You go out to that outhouse, and every maggot and fly and stinky thing in the world that God created is in that outhouse. But there was a pump. We didn't have running water, but we had pumps. One was that it went into the cistern, and it was a big pump outside. It had a great big long handle, and you'd pump that thing and go, and the water would come up, and it would start pumping out. Mom had a little pump in the kitchen, on the kitchen sink. It was about yay big, had a little handle on it. And Mom would get up about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to have her devotions, but she'd always want a cup of coffee. So she had to have water. And she'd go to that pump, and it would lose its prime. That means it loses its suction. The leather or the rubber or whatever it was in there would dry out. And Mom had to take, she always had a quart jar, and she would take that. And as she started to pump, she'd pour that water down the pipe, and it would start going like this. And the water would start gushing out. That's what it is to prime the pump. We need to prime the pump of praise. We need to prime the pump of thanksgiving because we're not naturally thankful. And so God has given us ways to do that that are helpful. They're all in the Scriptures. First of all, there are lots of Scriptures. You go to the Psalms. Psalm 113 to 135 are all thanksgiving Psalms. Did you know that? A lot of the Psalms are thanksgiving because David had to prime the pump. He wasn't always thankful. And as a matter of fact, in the middle of some of those Psalms, he is complaining. But he always came back to thanksgiving. He had to prime the pump. He had to reach into the well of salvation and remember the wonderful things the Lord has given him. One of those Psalms, a little outside of that context, is Psalm 139. And I love this psalm because it helps us to be thankful for everything. It says, Lord, you have searched me, you've known me, you know my downsittings and my uprising, you discern my thoughts afar off. And it goes on and on about how God has orchestrated everything in this body. And then he goes on to say, I am fearfully, wonderfully made. One of the things that I experienced in unthankfulness as I grew up was I wasn't happy with me. I wasn't happy with the guy that looked back at me in the mirror. As a matter of fact, I didn't like anything about me. I didn't like my nose, the pug nose. I didn't like my ears, they're too pointy. I didn't like my eyes. I didn't like my face. I didn't like my body because it wasn't big and strong. And so when I get up in the morning, I have to look in that mirror. So the first thing I see is something I don't like. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you have to look in the mirror every morning too. And maybe you don't like what you see. And I can remember looking at that and saying, God, why did you make me this way? And yet Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me in my mother's womb exactly the way he made me. See, if we're going to enter into thanksgiving, we have to realize that God made us the way he made us for his purpose. And we can be thankful for it. And so, as I look at that, I think, wow, there's some things I need to adjust. As a little boy, I didn't really care for my hair. Now, my mom always made us comb our hair. I know that's not true anymore. My grandsons don't comb their hair unless they're instructed to do so. But we were instructed to comb our hair. So I always had a part on one side and pour it over this way. And we used Brill Cream. Anybody know what that is? A little dab of do-ya. You grease that. It's like using lard and putting it on your hair and putting it, and slicking it down. And I don't know what happened one day. I was probably, 6 or 7 years old. And I combed my hair that way. But somehow, in getting out of the car and going to church, there was a little strand that fell down over my forehead. And it curled. And it went right like that. And somebody must have come up to me and said, oh, I love that curl. That is so beautiful. And you know what I did till I was 12 years old? Every morning I'd comb my hair and I'd take that curl and I'd put it down there to make myself look good. Because I knew the girls liked that curl. And I'd have that curl. It's like the Elvis Presley. Or for those of you that are as old as I am, Ricky Nelson. That was my hero. I had the Ricky Nelson look. And it made me feel better about myself. So look in the mirror. I always had to make those corrections. Put that little curl down. Now I can't do it because I'm too thin on top. So now I look in the mirror and I say, I don't like my hair. I'm losing my hair. Do you know anything? Do you know anything about hair? Let me tell you something about hair. Every one of us has hair. Blondes have 150,000 hair strands. Brunettes have 110,000. Black hair is 100,000. And redheads only have 90,000 hairs on their head. And we are losing every day anywhere from 50 to 100 strands of hair that fall out. And they regrow, but they fall out. That's why your tub is full of hair. That's why your sink gets full of hair. Because we're losing our hair. And your hair grows about 6 inches a year. Did you know that? 6 inches a year. I think it's pretty amazing. It says that on your whole body, your body has about 5 million hair follicles. Can you imagine that? Your body has 5 million hair follicles. And I can see some of you looking at it. Yep, I can see that. Most of you can't see, but there are some people that are really hairy. And you can see most of their follicles. Thank God you can't see both of your follicles. You know, God has ordained that you should not have hair on your hands, your palms, and your feet, or on your lips. Those are the three places you don't have hair. Wouldn't it be fantastic if you grew hair on your lips? Everybody'd call you a hair lip. So you can give thanks. When you get up in the morning, instead of looking in the mirror and hating yourself, look in the mirror and thank yourself. Look at the palms. Thank God I don't have hairs on the palms of my hands or on my feet or on my lips. That's wonderful. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you look at your body, and instead of criticizing it, give thanks for it. I am so thankful when I look in the mirror, I'm not as ugly as some people. There are a few uglier people out there. And so I'm thankful. And we need to be able to look at our bodies and say, Lord, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I look at my hands and I say, I am fearfully and wonderfully. I'm thankful for these hands. Do you know what it would be to live life without thumbs? Can you imagine if God made you with flippers instead of thumbs? And you just walk around all the time going, flip, 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 flip. You try to get that cell phone and you can't do it. Why? Because flippers don't work. God has created you wonderfully and fearfully with these things called thumbs that allow you to do things that other animals can't do. Are you thankful? God begins to give us some information as we look at the creation around us that He has made all things perfect. Aren't you glad that God didn't make you like a porcupine? And that your hair is like a porcupine's. Can you imagine your wife putting her hand on your head and trying to stroke you? Or every time you get upset, it goes, boing! I'm glad I'm not a porcupine. I'm glad I'm not a turtle. My grandsons have a turtle. It's in a big aquarium. And they just bought a huge aquarium because this little guy started out about the size of a quarter. Now he is the size of a little plate. And they said he needs this amount for every year that he grows. And turtles can live 30 years. And most of the time, that little turtle is going to be alone in his little aquarium, all by his lonesome, the rest of his days. I look at that and I say, I thank God I'm not a turtle. I don't have to live alone in a little aquarium. Aren't you glad that God didn't make you with a tail? Think about it. How rude and how intrusive that would be for riding on a horse. You'd have to move that tail out of the way all the time. You're trying to get things done, but this tail is always flopping around and doing its own thing. Aren't you glad God didn't make you with 8 legs like a spider? Oh, somebody says, I want to be Spider-Man. No, you don't, because a real Spider-Man would have 8 legs. And that's not fun. I'm thankful that God didn't make me a mosquito, that blood-sucking, irritating beast that comes around and buzzes around you all the time, is good for nothing but suck blood and get slapped. I'm glad I'm not a fly, because that fly over there that was bothering me this morning is destined for death. Thank God I'm not a fly. Thank God I'm not what other people are. I am what God created me to be. I am made in His image. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So Scripture gives us all of this information we need to do. So I'm going to challenge you. Every morning when you get up and look in the mirror, and I trust that you do look in the mirror, smile at the person in the mirror and give thanks for what you have. And some of you guys says, well, I can't give thanks for my hair because I don't have any. God only made a few good heads. The rest he had to cover with hair. So you give thanks that you've got a good head. Actually, when I retired, the guys at my church were shaving their heads, and they said, Pastor, you got to shave your head. So I shaved my head. I remember that day. I'll never forget that day. I thought, this is going to be great. I don't have to be public. I don't have to speak anymore. And so I went at it, shaved it all off, the razor, and razored it all off, and I looked in the mirror and saw my head. I have a misshaped head. I have a head that's not pretty. And it's too late when you shave it off. So give thanks for everything that you have. Then God gives us the counting. He says, count your blessings. Count all the things that God has done. God's provisions, God's people, God's protection, God's prayers that are answered, and even the problems. Give God thanks for the past and for the present. All of these things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. God encourages us to look for things to give thanks for. And in my workbook and in the book that you have, I give you a list of things to, like provisions and people and protection and prayers answered and problems solved. If you'd spend time every day thinking about something in each one of those categories, your spirit will be lifted up because you'll recognize that God is working. So we have scripture, we have counting, and we also have singing. Now, some of you don't sing well. At least you've told me you don't sing well. I have to watch. I don't want to look at anybody. Some people have told me they don't sing well. God has never made a bad voice. When I teach this in the seminar, I teach people to sing, I Love You, Lord. It's a little chorus. And I have all the bad singers, everybody thinks they have a bad voice, stand up and sing that. Maybe I should do that next week when we're on worship and have you stand up and sing. Have all the people that think they sing poorly stand up and sing. And I've done this in hundreds of churches. I have yet to have a bad voice singing. They don't always sing on key, but they're not bad voices. And they can sing to the praise and the glory of the Lord. We can sing songs to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. How many of you know that old chorus? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Now, when you're in your bathroom singing, you don't need to sing on key. You can sing it any way you want. And God listens, and it encourages your heart. When we came home from Brazil, we had served 5 years in another culture, and everything there was very contemporary, very Latin-based, and so you had a lot of Latin music. And we came home to the States, and our church was very similar to yours, did a lot of liturgical things, and one of the things we did was the doxology. And so we stood and sang the doxology. I knew the doxology from the time I was a little kid because we always sang it in church right after the offering. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We started singing it, and my kids go, What are you singing? What is that? And we realized our kids had been 5 years away and had never heard the doxology. And so we decided, let's do the doxology at every mealtime, every supper time before we eat. We're going to sing the doxology. And our kids learn the doxology. I want to challenge you. Here's our challenge. Do you say a table grace? Do you give thanks to the Lord for your food? I'm surprised at how many Christians do not. It shocks me. It shocks me even my own family. They're very conscientious to pray when I'm around. But when I'm not around, they just sit down like animals and go right into the food. God has ordained that we should give thanks. So I want to challenge you to give thanks for your food every day. Sing the doxology to the Lord. If you don't know it, learn it. You're going to sing it enough around here, you will learn it. So there's lots of things we can sing and praise the Lord. If you're contemporary, sing 10,000 reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Your kids know that. Mandy's kids love that song. The wonderful song to teach the kids to sing, praise the Lord. What about that song, count your blessings, name them one by one? And I used to go, count your many blessings, name them one by one. One, two. Sometimes it's like that. In my seminar, we have sheets of paper 1 to 100, And I have people take 10 minutes, and I said, I want you to write down as many things as you can think of to be thankful for, and just write them down. It can be one word, but write them as quickly as you can until you come to 100. And so you watch people, and the positive people go, they're racing down there. They get 50 to 75 right away. And those people are like me, kind of analytic and critical. They're going, one, nope, take that one off. Two, three. And they get to about 10, and they stall because they're not used to giving thanks. They're used to giving criticism, looking at the world as a broken place and telling God how it needs to be fixed. We need to train ourselves to give thanks. So let me give you an application to all this. First, I've mentioned it already. Number one, your assignment is to go home and say a table grace before you eat. Doesn't matter what that table grace is. You don't have to use a formal prayer, but just give thanks to God for the food. Now, I really get irritated when my grandmother used to pray for the food. My grandmother had to pray around the world. And usually at Thanksgiving dinner, somebody called on Grandma to pray, and we all went, oh, no. Because Grandma's going to go through a whole family, 25 people by name, everybody's ailments. Then she's going to start with the missionaries and go through all the missionaries, and then all the politicians and everybody else. By the time she finished praying, everything was cold. So we as kids just started nibbling while she was praying. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to endure this forever. Give thanks to the Lord at a table grace. And then when you pray, count off everything. In the morning when you get up, when you start that be still and you go into 3 minutes of being thankful, take 3 minutes and don't ask God for anything. That was hard for me. That was really a discipline to not ask God for anything for 3 minutes. And for 3 minutes, find things to be thankful for and not ask anything, because we are accustomed to just asking and asking. And I found myself, you know, I could be thankful for three things, and then I'm asking God, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. No, thanks. Just give thanks. And then sing at least one song a day. I was going to say, all of you take showers, but that's not true. I've discovered my grandkids take showers about every third day. So when you take a shower, or when you take a bath, or better yet, when you go to the bathroom, I know you do that every day, sing in the bathroom. Sing a song of thanks to the Lord, and sing it loud and sing it long, and give the Lord praise. You know what happens when you give the Lord praise? The devil hates it. And if you want the devil to flee from you, sing in the bathroom. And if you have a bad voice and sing in the bathroom, he runs even faster. So sing in the bathroom and sing and give thanks to the Lord. And finally, this fall weather, go for a walk. Go for a walk. Invite the Lord to go along with you and just point out all the wonderful things you're seeing, all the colors out there. Maryland's just loved it. We are old people now, 74 years old. And every year it's the same thing. Oh, I can't wait for the colors to change. And then they change and Maryland's going, oh, look at the beautiful color. Isn't that I'm colorblind. She knows that. But she raves at the colors. So I've just decided, okay, I'm going to imagine I see the colors. I go, ooh, isn't that pretty? So go for a walk in the woods and look at the leaves. Look at the flowers. Look at everything that God has created and give him thanks for it. Why? Because God has given us the command to be thankful in everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God and you do everything perfectly. There's nothing outside your control. You allow the good, the bad, and the ugly for your purpose, for your glory, and for our good. So as you teach us to pray, Lord, so teach us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to be thankful that your will is done and will be done now and forevermore. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me for our closing song? We're singing one verse of 5:41. Thank you. 5:41. In the garden. Many of you already know it, so you probably don't need the verse at all. I come to the garden alone. I to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And now, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all good things and all that you've created. We thank you that you've created us wonderfully and fearfully and magnificently, the way that you wanted us to be. Help us, Lord, to be thankful in everything as we enter into this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.